right. Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are you doing? I'm going to need everybody to go ahead and stand up with me. We're going to get right into the presence of God. No wasting time. So go ahead and come up to the altar. And we're just going to lift His name up. Amen. I said amen. All right, Jesus, we just thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for the honor and the privilege it is to be able to meet with you and meet with you freely. God, we just love your presence and we love that you are willing to come and meet with us, Jesus. So I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us, God. And I thank you that we have the freedom to worship you in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I hear a shout for Jesus?
Amazing love, how can it be? God is so good, isn't he? God is so good, isn't he? He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above everything that we could ever ask or think. Which means that because of the fact that we are small-minded people, he can do exceedingly, so more. Which means that we should give him even higher praise than what we just did. There it is. This is such a great song, so sing it with me, please. Sing God is able.
God is able to do just what he said that he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you.
He's able.
Come on, clap.
He's able.
Now, if you believe that, let me hear a shout real quick. Awesome. Let's sing God is able.
God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able.
Just worship him. Give him the highest praise. Sing it one more time.
God is able to do just what he said he would do.
He's gonna fulfill.
He's gonna fulfill
every promise.
Every promise to you.
Come on, sing. Don't give up.
Don't give up on God.
'Cause he just repeat after me. I'm gonna sing this verse and then you sing.
Whoa.
Yes, he is able.
He's able.
My God is able.
He's able.
For I am sure that
he's able.
That he is able.
He's able.
Yes, I know
he's able.
That he is able.
He's able.
Don't you know
he's able.
That he is able.
He's able.
Do you know
he's able.
That he is able.
He's able.
For I am sure
he's able.
Because I've tried him before.
He's able.
Yes, he. Because he is able.
He's able.
Yes, for we know
he's able.
We worship and enable God.
He's able.
So sing he's able.
He's able.
Sing oh.
He's able. Oh.
Come on, sing it out.
Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you.
Anybody ever been there?
Don't give up on God.
At that line where you're ready to cross it and give up.
'Cause he won't give up on you.
Where you're ready to throw in the towel. Has anybody had that?
Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you.
Come on, sing that with all you have, with your hands up. Come on.
Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you.
Oh, oh, oh.
Don't give up on God.
Don't give up.
'Cause he won't give up on you.
Come on, sing, don't give up.
Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you.
One more time, sing.
Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you.
Yes, he is able.
Hallelujah!
Oh!
shout it out from the mountaintops. Yes, the Lord is good forever. For the Lord is good and his love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever. And I'll shout it out from the mountaintops. Yes, the Lord is good forever. For the Lord is good and his love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever. And I'll shout it out from the mountaintops. Yes, the Lord is good forever.
We want you more and more. We want you more and more. We want you more and more. More and more. Come on, sing it out.
We want you more and more. We want you more and more. We want you more and more. More and
sing that again.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Hallelujah. You have won. Death could not hold you down. You are the risen King. You're seated in majesty. Hallelujah. You have won the victory.
Come on, sing it out with everything that you have.
Sing
hallelujah. Thank you, God.
It's you, Lord.
You have won the victory.
that you're so good to us, God. We love you. Thank you for your presence in this place. We want more of your glory, God. We want your glory to fill this place. That weightiness of heaven, God, we can't deny that we've been in the presence of the Lord. Father, from the very back of the sanctuary to the front, in the name of Jesus. In every single children's room, Father, let the anointing be so weighty, God, that our children will know the presence of God. That they'll know you, Father, that they'll know how to live and walk within you. In him we live and move and have our being. God, we thank you. We thank you. We honor you this morning. We're not here for church, Father God. We're here for you. And we thank you that you're here too. We love you. Can you just take 30 seconds and tell me you love him this morning? Come on, just tell him you love him. Just share in your heart how much you love him this morning. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I know that you might be a guest today and you're guessing what's going on. We want you to know you're going to be all right. This is called the power of God. And the great part about the power of God is that God doesn't touch you to hurt you. God touches you to bless you. And so you might say, why did somebody fall down? Well, if you stick your finger in a light socket, let me tell you, you might not be standing up either. And every one of us reacts spiritually different to the power of God. Some people go what we call, it's like heaven meeting earth, to where the power of God touches somebody and their physical body just shuts down and they just get right into a real deep presence of God. Other times people laugh. This young lady over here is laughing in the spirit. I tell you, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Some of you need to start laughing. Amen. Other times it's just wow. You all right? It was all right. I've seen people so drunk in the spirit they can't even stand up. You have to carry them to the car. See, everybody reacts differently to the presence of the Lord. Some people are just quiet. When the presence of God comes on me real strong, I don't even move. I just will stand real quiet because everybody's different. Don't compare yourself to anybody and say, well, you know, that's weird. No, it might not be weird. It might be weird to you, but it might not be weird to them. That's how God touches them. God touches everybody differently. My grandfather used to laugh. He would just get this jovial laugh in the spirit. So everybody's different. But the one thing you've got to know is you've got to know the presence of God. Amen? My goodness, I don't care how he touches you, how you react to him, but you better get a hold of him. Because he's the one that has the answers for you. He's the one that has peace for you. He's the one that has joy for you. He's the one that can heal your bodies. He's the one that heals your mind. He's the one that encourages and strengthens you. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Woo! So the one thing for sure is, you know, I guess I've been doing this around 30 years, been preaching the gospel for 30 years, and, you know, I'm not talking bad about anybody, but I still cannot fathom, I was telling my wife this last night, I cannot fathom how somebody can leave Pentecost and go to a church that doesn't allow God's Spirit to move. I just will never fathom that. That will never equate with my mind, because I don't know what I would do if I had to slide into a tradition. If I had to come here and it's, well, let's all stand for the reading. Baby, you might as well just shoot me, put me out of my misery. Because you know I'm playing on my phone. I'm playing pool on my phone. I just got to have God's Spirit move. And if you're fresh here, you're saying, I don't understand. Hang on for the ride. You'll be all right. Turn to somebody and say, you're going to be all right. Come on, tell somebody else you're going to be all right. On your way back to your chair, why don't you meet five or six folks you don't know and say, hey, you're going to be all right. Don't go sit down. Go meet five or six folks you don't know and say, hey, you're going to be all right.
How many times can one heart break? It was never supposed to be this way. Look in the mirror, but you find someone you never thought you'd be. Oh, but I can still recognize the one I love in your tears stained eyes. I know you might not see it now, so lift your eyes to me. Nothing you could ever do to lose what grace has won. So hold on, it's not the end. No, this is where love's work begins. I'm making all things new, and I will make a miracle of you. When you see broken beyond repair, I see healing beyond belief. When you see too far,
Pastor Michael Spencer from His Tabernacle Family Church, and we have a ton of events for you this Easter season. April 15th, we're doing the first ever helicopter egg drop right here at His Tabernacle Family Church. Make sure you and your children are here 10 to noon. Don't miss our Easter services Friday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning 9 or 11. We got a play that will knock your socks off. We'll see you in just a little bit.
Ladies, the next Women's Encounter is June 8th through 10th, and you don't want to miss it. It's held at the Best Western in Sayre, Pennsylvania. Your deposit of $200 will hold your spot, and there are only 6 places left. So make sure you contact Carla Vischer to get signed up.
You know, first service beats you out on being louder. You want to try it again? Who wants to try it? All of the above. All right, who's in the house this morning? All right, awesome, awesome. We want to welcome all the first-time guests of the house this morning. We're not going to nag you or call you out, but if you could raise your hand up, we have a gift that we'd like to get in your hands. Is there any first-time guests in the house? Even if you brought one and they don't want to raise their hand, do it for them. We got a first-time guest in the house, second service. We have some packet for you. We got some information. We thank you for joining us this morning. Can we give our guests a hand clap this morning? We want you to enjoy the service. Right after the service, we have a guest reception just for you where you can get a chance to meet the pastors and the staff of His Tabernacle. We also want to welcome all the live streamers. Thank you so much for joining us, wherever you are, if you're at work or at home or traveling. Thank you so much for joining us. It's going to be an awesome service. Pastor definitely had another one today. Amen. You just never know what you're going to get. All right, listen up. HD family, what's next week? It's Easter service. Yes, we have Easter weekend. We got a lot of things happening. This is our biggest weekend of the year, and it starts on Friday night right here at 7 p.m. We're going to be having our Easter production. The play will be our production staff will be going through and doing their show. It's going to be an amazing service. So make sure you're inviting somebody out. If people can't be here on Sunday, bring them on Friday. Bring them on Friday. Bring them on Friday. Bring them on Friday. 7 p.m. And then on Saturday, we have our Easter egg hunt from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And we're having the first ever helicopter egg drop. Helicopter egg drop. This is going to be awesome and fun and exciting. We actually did a mailing to our local community. Over 4,000 we mailed out. And this is a great outreach program for our church. So we want you to be here to love on the people. And we're actually receiving more volunteers. So if you are willing to come and help us, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. again, we need more helpers. We need more volunteers because we're expecting to get to have the community come for this. So you want to go out to the kids' check-in station after the service and sign up for that. And then on Sunday, we're not changing our services. We're still doing 9 a.m. and 10 a.m., 11 a.m., 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. It goes that quick. But listen, this is a great opportunity. Easter service is a time for you. Turn to somebody and say, you. You need to invite somebody. You need to invite somebody. So make sure that you're inviting your friends, your family, your neighbors, whoever you run into. Give them the information. We have the invite cards out at the hub. Make sure you're handing them out to people. But this is a huge weekend for us. We want to fill this room up twice. Amen? Twice. Three times, Pastor said. Because he's going to preach three times. So listen, make sure you're bringing somebody out. So we want to enjoy our Easter services. It's a great week and an opportunity to love on people and to show the love of Christ. Amen? Amen. Pastor Rhonda.
Amen. It is awesome to be able to be in the powerful presence of God and celebrate Him. I love the presence of God. As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, I want to share a testimony that we were able to be blessed to hear this past week. We have a young man that has been under our ministry, and we've been pastoring since he was 12 years old, and he's now in his 30s. No, we're not that old. Wow. And he's been raised up in church and has watched people start to tithe, and he's watched the blessing of God on their lives. So he determined to be a tither. But 2 years ago, he decided to take another step. He sowed a significant seed for the first time in his life. It was his entire tax return to the Empowering Pastors Conference. And he got to sit down with us this past week and tell us, "Pastors, that changed my life. From that moment on, I have seen favor and blessing in our finances like it is unbelievable. Moved up into the place of employment to one of the highest places, the most trusted places. And actually, we were having dinner with them to say goodbye because they're moving with such blessing and favor. And the first thing that he did when he found out he was moving, because y'all know when you move, you got to make sure there's a church that's going to sustain your spirit and your soul, because it is more important for your soul to go to heaven than a few dollars. So his first phone call was to Pastor, "This is where I'm moving. Here's my address. Where's the church?" And God has had such favor on him. There is a powerful church less than 2 miles from their house. So that is what happens when we enter into kingdom finances. You see, I can tell you what the Word of God says, and you can feel like it's an obligation, but there's nobody that can tell that young man that entering into kingdom finances doesn't work. I mean, he is blown away at the blessing and the favor of God in his life. And that's what happens when we don't make this a routine. You are not just putting money in a basket. You are cutting covenant with God, and he has kingdom financial blessing for your life. It is a supernatural act when you put your finances in the kingdom of God. So stand to your feet. Let's make that supernatural declaration. This is the covenant that I'm talking about in Deuteronomy 28, and we recite it every single week. This is what you're entering into when you choose to obey God. Deuteronomy 28 says, "If I obey, oh, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. tithes and offerings, we are having communion this morning. So make sure everyone comes forward and grabs your communion cups. Come on and give to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, grab some bread or crackers and some juice, and you can do communion right along with us. And go on the giving button, click and give right along with us, or you can even text to give. Hallelujah. What an awesome day to be able to remember what our God has done for us. I want to read to you from Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's what we've been doing all morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And then verse 2 goes on to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Forget not all of his benefits. He says, do this communion in remembrance of me. And it goes on to say in that passage, who forgives all of your sins? He forgives every one of your sins. There's nothing too big, nothing too small or hidden, nothing too repeated that God will not forgive it. It says right here in this covenant promise in Psalms 103, who forgives all of your sins. And in the same covenant, in the same act of sacrifice on the cross, he forgave all of our sins and he heals all of your diseases. All of your diseases. So as we take this bread and this juice this morning, we do it in remembrance of what was done on the cross for us. He not only took away your sins, but he also healed all of your diseases. So as you take this bread this morning, and we eat it together, we remember that by his stripes, we were healed. That is what he did on the cross. It's his word, and God cannot lie. So whatever sickness, whatever disease has been spoken over you, by his stripes you were healed. We are going to remember that promise. Remember that covenant. Remember what he did on the cross this morning, and forget it not. And when we take this bread, I believe that we will be healed of every sickness and disease by the power of what he purchased on the cross. God cannot lie. Let us take the bread together. And then he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood that was shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." Now, there is something so powerful. When you get saved, you become a new creation. However you've been identified in the past, whatever people have called you in the past, the day that you accept Jesus in your life, the Word of God says, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You have a new identity. You no longer are the same. When you walk out of this place, you are changed and transformed because the power of the blood of Jesus puts every sin underneath it, and he makes all things new. Are you ready to become a new creation? Are you ready to forget not that you've become a new creation? Remember all of his benefits as we take this cup and drink it together. And now, Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the price that was paid, not only for a new life, not only to forgive us of all of our sins, but also to heal every one of our diseases. Thank you, Jesus, for the price. We will not forget what you did. We will not forget your covenant. We will not forget your promises. And we thank you for it. In your precious name, Lord Jesus, we have been made whole. In your precious name, amen.
Thank you, Father, for this new day. Thank you for your word that fills me up, that lights my path, that encourages me day by day, moment by moment. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you that you are my Lord, my Savior, my protector, my provision. Father, what would I do without you? Thank you for your blood that covers me, that covers my family. Thank you for your protection and your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. What a way to start the day. Ah, thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, here we are again. Let's see, where did I leave off? Yeah, right about there. What was that? That's really funny. Oh, I gotta answer that one out. Where was I? Yeah. That's really good. Okay, I gotta get back to this. Yeah. Well, that's enough for today. Thank you. Okay. Good morning, Lord. Just a minute. Really? Sure. Yeah, I can do that. That'd be great. Oh, yeah, I can be right over there. And not a problem. Yeah, I can do the other later. Yeah, it's okay. All right, we'll see you later. Bye. Oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, my, you better be there. Oh, please be there. Please be there. Pick up. You've got to be there. You've got to be there. Oh, please, Lord, please, 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 please. Come on, come on, come on. Pick up the phone. Pick up the phone. Pick up the phone. Oh, please, 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 please help me. Pick up the phone. Come on.
Hey, Marge.
Pastor, I don't know what to do. I'm so scared.
Marge,
I don't know
Marge,
what to do.
I need you to focus. Marge, I need you to focus.
No!
Focus, Marge. Focus.
No!
Marge, I need you to focus. Focus. Have you been taken? Marge. You might not know who I am.
I have Marge.
You might not know who I am, but I know who you are. And I have a particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over many years of service. Skills that make me a nightmare to spirits like you. If you let Marge go, if you take the blinders off of Marge, then I won't cast you into the pigs. But if you don't, I'm coming for you. You can't hide. I will cast you off.
Good luck.
Good luck? Good luck? I don't need luck. I'm a son of the living God. I got the Holy Ghost dwelling inside of me. And every demon in hell has to yield in Jesus' name. Turn to someone and say, I don't need luck. You don't need luck. Man, each one of us in this room are power-packed, Holy Ghost-filled sons and daughters of the Most High God. And every demon in hell shudders when you put your foot on the ground every single morning. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I said, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 12. And the Bible says this, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. These last few weeks, we've been preaching about soul winning, about how God has called you. Turn to someone and say, you. He's called you to help somebody. He's called you to bring freedom to somebody through his blood. He's called you to share the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. He's called you. Each one of you have written five names, and you've been praying for them and binding the devil who blinds the mind of the unbeliever. You see, today we've got to have an epiphany. We've got to have a supernatural revelation that the devil isn't playing tennis. He's not out playing a game. He's not out just doing his thing and not being mean and nasty. You see, he only has one purpose, and that is to steal, kill, and to destroy. You see, he wants to kill your children. The devil wants to kill your family. The devil wants to destroy your relationship with Jesus. And the church has to have a realization that this is not a little game that we're playing called church, but we are the sons and daughters. We are the army of God. We have an anointing on us to do the work and the will of heaven. We have been called to fulfill God's destiny for our lives. And that is not going to happen by pacification. That is only going to happen if we are going to be aggressive and if we are going to take it by force. You see, even today, as they were saying, the young people, young adults were saying, how many people died in Egypt? They just boosted it to 43 people gave their life this morning as they were going to church. We live in a world that is filled with violence. And I want you to see what happens in the flesh world is no comparison to what's happening in the spirit world. You see, the devil is very violent. His whole procedure in life is maybe to lull you to a position, but then to destroy you there. We've got to have this realization that the enemy is out to destroy the people that you love, that the enemy of your soul is actively striving to bring people into a blindness, the spiritual blindness that Jesus came and said that he brought deliverance from. He's doing that because he wants them to be with him for all of eternity in the lake of fire. You need to tell somebody, I'm going to become a violent Christian. Well, I don't believe in violence. Let me tell you, if your child was being wounded, you wouldn't sit back and let it happen. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I don't care how anti-violent you are, but this is the issue. We would become a protective, we would become aggressive if there was a need to protect somebody in the flesh. But what happens is we are not moving in that same direction in the spirit. The church has become a pacification place. We become a placating place. We become a place that everybody just sits back and allows church to happen. But I'm here to tell you, God has not called you to be the church on the earth. He's called you to be part of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is taken by violence. It's time to recognize that the Lord has placed you here with power within your spirit, man, so that you can do the will and the work of God and accomplish heaven's bidding. And what is that? To snatch people from Satan's lair, to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and to violently destroy the works of the devil. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Acts chapter 10 makes a declaration in that God was with Jesus and anointed him with the Holy Ghost, and Jesus went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil. You see, the devil destroys people by oppression. He brings them to the place of captivization. He takes them in places that they never thought they would be. Yet the church has sat back and said, well, I feel bad for them. Well, you know, I prayed for them. But really, we don't pray for them. Really, we don't stand for them. We just have our little pious process to where we sit back and we say, well, I feel bad for their life. But it's time to get aggressive in the spirit and understand that if we don't do something, they're going to be lost, not for a week, not for a month, but they're going to be lost for all of eternity. Their lame's names will not be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. You see, the devil is not out there to play games. We live in a world where today human trafficking is at one of its highest peaks. We don't like to hear that in our area, yet not only, what was it, 2 years ago, they found a young man that was trafficking a young lady up near Bath. Right now, it's not abnormal for people, the young girls especially, to be snatched and sold into sex slavery. I remember when Haiti was attacked and with the earthquake, and an entire village, young men went into those villages, snatching the young girls out of there, taking them, and putting them into sex slavery. We don't like to think about that in America because we want things to be quiet. Yet we do actually know people who have a whole ministry in getting back what the devil has taken, where they will actually go into a foreign country and try to buy back these young girls, sex slaves. If they can't buy them, then they violently take them away. I'm here to tell you, it's time to start touching people, not in the natural, but in the supernatural. It's time to get back to the call of God in our lives. And what is that? That Jesus called us to seek and to save them which are lost. We're not called to sit and save. We're not called to just rest and save. We're called to be people of aggression in the spirit. Because the devil's not playing a game. It's time to get on ourselves and say, God, I'm ready to fight a battle that I have never fought before. I'm ready to stand in the gap for somebody that I'm believing for. I'm willing, God, for you to use me violently in the spirit to break the devil's back that God might rise in their life. You see, many of us are so passive in our relationship with the Lord, and we're passive because we really don't believe that if someone dies without Christ, they go to the lake of fire. We really don't believe that. We talk it, we think it, we've heard the verses on it, it's truth, and the truth will make you free. But many people don't believe that the wages of sin is death. Going to church won't get you to heaven. Can I hear an amen or oh my? It's nothing but the blood of Jesus that washes away the sin of stain. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what's happened in the body of Christ? We've been lulled to a spiritual sleep into a place where we really don't believe that eternity is for eternity. We really don't believe that if somebody dies without confessing Christ as their Savior, that they're not going to heaven. In fact, they actually have proven, as they've done studies, that most Christians today, over half of believers today, do not actually believe that if you die without Jesus, you actually go to the lake of fire. Even those who call themselves Christians, many of them now will actually tell you they don't even believe the Bible's true. But whether we like it or not, the enemy of our soul, what you see in the flesh, is not even comparison to what you see in the spirit. And what's happening in the spirit realm, don't look at those things which can be seen, for they are temporal, but look at the things which cannot be seen, for they're eternal. The eternal things that are happening is the reality of what truly will last for eternity. There are people that are blinded by the devil, people that the devil has brought into addictions, people that the devil is tormenting in their life, in their mind, in their bodies, and in their personage, and the devil is trying to destroy them. He's aggressively after them, and the church sits back in our passive position and says, well, I'll pray for you. We've got to again become aware that this is a real battle. But the great news is you've already won the battle. The great news is greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The great news is my God is able to do abundantly above all he could even ask or imagine. The truth is that if God is for you, who can be against you? The truth is, but if the church don't believe the truth, then the devil will rape and pillage the people and sit back and Christians today say, well, you know, it must have been God's will. Well, you know, this must be happening because it's God's desire. We're blaming God for the devil's deeds. The church has to again get aggressive in the spirit and start battling the devil. And it's easy to battle one who's already been lost. It's one that stands back knowing their authority, and in their authority, they do not let the one who is smaller rise larger than they should be. You see, the devil was cursed to the ground and was called, and the snake, cursed to the ground, who was representative of the devil, cursed to the ground and commanded to slither the rest of his life. Why do we believers allow him to stand up? It's because we're passive. You see, Christ has called us to seek and to save. The issue is this: how many people do you know that you have never told that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that if they die today, they're going to be lost for eternity? It comes down to really believing. It comes down to our convincing. It comes down to an epiphany, a revelation. It's not church attendance. It's not church membership. It's not being part of the crew. It's the blood of Jesus. You see, you've never seen any person more aggressive than Jesus Christ. You've never seen anyone more passive than God himself, where he said, I sent my only begotten son, the best that I have. I've sent him down, not to war in the flesh. You see, even though the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious, were against him, the truth is, was what you could not see was a greater battle than what you could see. The diabolical were after Christ. The diabolical were trying to kill Christ. The diabolical were trying to destroy the work of the Messiah. But God, and I want you to know this, the power that Christ had can destroy any devil that's in hell. And that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he dwells inside of you. It's time to get back to understanding that there must be an aggression in our spirit to see lost people saved. The average believer in America does not lead one person to Jesus in their entire walk with Christ. Think about that. The average church sees less than one soul saved an entire year. It's amazing how the church has lost its purpose, has lost its vision. And the church is not the building. The church is the individuals that are in the building. You see, I am the church. The Bible declares that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of me, that I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. You see, when we recognize that truthfully, realistically, that someone lost will never be found if they don't accept Christ, then we have to be hit with a passion in our spirit and aggression. They have been taken. They have been owned. They've been dragged away. You see, when you watch that movie, the one thing you find is this, is when Liam found out his daughter was taken, he didn't sit back and turn on Oprah. He didn't sit back and grab a ginger ale. He went to his ex-wife. Where's your husband? Got aggressive. I want a plane now. He was on a plane. He had, what, 72 hours? 72 hours, they say, to find your daughter, or she'll be lost forever. Lost where? Lost being sold into slavery. She was taken. How many people do we know that have been taken by the enemy? How many people do we know that if they died today won't be saved? How many people do we know that are being taken by somebody, by something that the devil has brought into their life, and they have sold their relationship with Christ or chosen not to follow Christ? We've got to get back to being a person who is willing to give. You see, Liam was willing to give it all. He was willing. Mr. Mills was willing to pay the price. It didn't matter how many people he killed. It didn't matter how many he was beat up. It didn't matter the cost. It mattered that he got his daughter back. When was the last time we were so passionate for a soul? It did not matter what it cost. It didn't matter what we had to do to make sure that they heard that without Christ, there is no hope. Oh, I can't hear you this morning. This is a place where the body of Christ needs to get back to. The body of Christ has stopped growing in America. Every one of us should be leading people to Christ every year. I only heard one amen. The body of Christ should be leading someone to Christ every single year. Amen. We've got to stop being people of passivity in the spirit. You see, this is not about fighting and punching people in the face and kicking them and shooting them. My wife and I watched all three movies this week. We saw A Letter to Dead People this week. It's not about that because, you know, honestly, when you're dealing with a soul, when you're dealing with spirits, it's not about what you can see. It's about what you cannot see. And the Bible says we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You see, demons are very real. Demons are very active. Demons are out there to destroy. We know it. Steal, kill, and destroy. The demonic is out there not running around with a little red tail and a pitchfork, but they're very deceptive. The Bible says the devil is called an angel of light. All of a sudden, he'll offer you more money if you give up. He'll give you a girl or a guy you can start sleeping with so you can surrender your walk with God. He'll give you a greater career. He'll offer you a place to move. Listen now, I've watched this. He'll offer you a place to move with better pay, but with no church. He'll get you into an addiction. He'll get you through peer pressure. You see, he's a wise old fox. He's working so very hard to make sure that he can captivate you to destroy you. But yet, we, the body of Christ, are not the ones that should be destroyed. For once we've been washed by the blood of Christ, we've had that revelation that without Jesus, we cannot live. In him I live and move and have my being. All my success is in my Messiah. You see, today I don't stand here as somebody just hoping to make it to heaven. I'm a blood-washed son of God, Holy Ghost-filled. I got the power of heaven resident inside of me. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. There's nothing I cannot do. For if God is for me, who can be against me? You see, we are not just making it by, but we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's who we are. And in that, we've got to have passion to help those who are not. If your child was abducted, God forbid. Has anybody ever lost their child at the mall before? Not at the mall. How many of you ever lost your children at church before? Don't raise your hand. At first, you just start looking around, but all of a sudden, panic starts hitting on you. And you start get aggressive. What do you mean? Go look here. Go look there. Go over there. You start looking in every single room that you can try to find. Why? Because something was taken that was valuable to you. Something's been taken that's valuable to God. It's your mother, it's your brother, it's your sister, it's your father, it's your husband, it's your wife. Come on now, it's your babies, it's your friend, it's even your enemy. You see, God loves them with an everlasting love, and he has called you and I to be the ones that hold the message. We have the power of God unto salvation, which is called the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without the church, this world is lost. Without the salt, this world will not be preserved. Without the light, they will remain in darkness, and the blinded mind of the unbelievers will overwhelm and overcome them. But God has set an order. He has said, I'm going to send my body. I'm going to send my sons. I'm going to send my daughter. And I'm going to send them with a message that will break the captives free. It's called the gospel of Christ. Yet the church, we don't move in aggression anymore. We sit back and wait for somebody to come with us. They're not interested in coming to church. They're not interested in your religion. They need Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no hope. But yet, if we don't believe that, then we just keep living that same process of survival Christianity. We fight not against flesh and blood, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. But the Bible says, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeketh who he may devour. But I love James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he might flee from you. Oh, that's not what it says. Submit to God, resist the devil, and you might get lucky. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will. Shout will. He will. Shout will. He will flee from you. You see, you and I have a call of God on our lives. You and I have such immense, enormous responsibility. Why? Because you and I are the ones that he's called. When Marge was taken, the call was that you and I are the people that are going to bind the devil who blinds the mind of the unbeliever. We're not talking a religious thing. We're talking a supernatural act. That supernatural act is literally talking to a demonic spirit. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come off Marge's mind. I command you to stop blinding her spiritually, and I command right now in Jesus' name. The name of Jesus is above every single name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. He is Lord, and he's called us to move in his authority and his power. You see, this is not a fleshly violence. This is a supernatural act. We must become aggressive in our authority. The Bible says this, Matthew 18:18-19. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Matthew 28:19-20. And Jesus came and spoke, saying, all authority, shout all authority. Come on, that's all authority in heaven and in earth. That means there's nothing that's outside of his authority. That means there's nothing outside of his capability. That means there's nothing outside of the supernatural ability for God to change what was to something that is. God is able to do abundantly above. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, everybody shout go. Shout go. Shout go. Shout sit. Shout go. Come on, I can't hear you. Shout go. You see, Jesus didn't leave us powerless. He said, all authority has been given to me. That means whatever Jesus can do, you can do. That means whatever Jesus did on this planet, you can do on this planet. But we got a bunch of believers who don't believe any longer. They don't move in the aggression of the Holy Ghost. They don't move in the direction of the Spirit of God. They sit back and they wonder who's going to step on the scene. Where's the evangelist? Where's the pastor? But I want you to know that same Spirit that raised up Jesus dwells inside of you. That same power of God that's in me is the same power of God that's in you. I can do all things through Christ. So can you. God doesn't love one more than he loves another. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2 says this. Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over some demon spirits. What? How many demon spirits? All of them. Jesus gave you, turn to someone and say, you. Everybody in this room who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, every one of you, God has given not just authority, for if you have authority but you have no power, you are still in weakness. If you have power but no authority, you have no capabilities. But when you have authority and you have power, you can move heaven and earth. Can I hear an amen? You see, just what Jesus did, you can do. He didn't just give you authority. He didn't just give you power, but he gave you all power and authority over every demon spirit and over Satan himself. Even the Lucifer himself has to be subject to you in the name of Jesus Christ. So when we're praying for these people, we're not praying nice little prayers. We're taking spiritual aggression in the Holy Ghost. That means when you speak these things in prayer, literally, not figuratively, demonic spirits are screaming because they know they are subject to you in the name of Jesus. They know they cannot make it if you're taking a posture against them. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will. But do you believe that? See, when we believe that, our prayers are changed. When we believe that, how we're praying for these people to be born again changes. We don't sit back and go, well, you know, it's impossible for them to be saved. God said humanly it might be, but with God, all things are possible. And when you start to pray in the name of Jesus, when you start to pray in binding the spirits, when you start to pray and loosen the Holy Ghost, when you start to pray and God starts to move, he can take somebody who never believed, who was a full-out atheist, and God can start changing that person. God can start healing that person. God can start transforming that person. But it's time for the church to get back to busyness and say, God, I'm ready to work. I'm ready to pray. The greatest part of this warfare, the greatest violence of this warfare must happen on your knees. You know, we had all these lists. But the thing is how many of you have prayed for them more than 5 minutes? We've whispered their names, but we really don't believe that God can do it. You put the name on the paper if you did that because pastor told you to. But when you really believe who you are, everything changes. When I stand up as Michael Spencer, not as Pastor Spencer, and I start moving in the power of God, it's not because I'm moving in the power of God because I got a brand on me. I move in the power of God because I know who I am. And when you know who you are, you walk different, you talk different, you live different, you pray different. Everything changes when you know who you are. Everything changes when you act the way you're supposed to be acting. You see, this is who we are. We are not some passive church that sits back. And I've had people leave this church. They said, Pastor, you're just too aggressive. I'm always going to be aggressive because too many people are not going to heaven. It's time for the church to stand up and be the church. It's time for the church to stand up and take back what the devil has taken. It's time for us to stand up and say, it doesn't matter what the cost, I will do it for my God, because I cannot fathom to see this many people not hear the gospel. You know, people say to me, well, Pastor, really, what's the cost? Well, for this church, the cost is great. Last year, we gave $320,000 to reach people for Jesus. That's 28% of the church's budget. Do you know how big a salary I could have? Do you know how much rate I could give all staff? But what I love about this staff is they're not driven by money. The staff is driven by one thing, and that is, what is it going to cost us to see one person who's lost come to light? What is it going to cost us? It doesn't matter what the cost is. Because I'm willing to pay it. And the staff is paying the price. The pastors are paying the price. Why? Because instead of taking the $320,000 and patting our pockets, it's getting out to the world and sharing the gospel that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Without him, you cannot be born again. It's time to get back to aggression. It's time to get back to passion. It's time to get back to being overwhelmed at times with the lostness of people. When was the last time you cried for somebody that was lost? When was the last time it touched you so deeply that you couldn't let a day go by? When we really understand how quick life is. Now, I'm young, I'm 51. I was waiting for Kayla to go, amen. She just stared at me. But honestly, 51 is not old. Now, all the people saying that are people over 50. Amen. Because everybody over 50 realizes how quick this thing moves. How many of you know somebody that died early? Died young. No one would ever have thought they would ever die. They were vivacious and they lived a life of excitement. And then all of a sudden, man, this daisy's growing. And you loved them. But you never told them. You never let them know without Christ they couldn't go to heaven. You know what's amazing that we don't think about? Is that literally and not figuratively, that person, if they're not saved, is still alive. They're not dead. Literally, right now, their screams cannot be heard. The pain of their physical bodies, yes, that's right, they have a body. As worms are eating them, yet their bodies are not being consumed. As fire is burning them, yet their body is not being incinerated. The aloneness, the lack of sleep, because they'll never rest again for all of eternity. Yet we didn't tell them because we don't care. Yet if it was my child that was snatched, watch out. Preacher or no preacher, you get my way, you're not going to live. It's the truth. But what about that person that's lost? What are you willing to pay for them to be saved? See, this comes down to truly understanding that without Jesus, you don't go to heaven. We've become so religiousized. That's my own word, by the way. That we actually don't believe that the wages of sin is eternal death. We must have God move in our heart again. We must have God turn our spirit again. We must have God revive us again. The revival that's going to come in these last days is a people that are going to not care about their own life. They're going to care more about seeing people saved than people being accepted or being accepted by people. They're going to care more about people knowing that Jesus is the way. You see, it's not our job to save them, but it is our job to tell them. It is our job to share with them. It is imperative that we share the gospel of Christ. You see, the Spirit of the Lord will take the gospel and make manifestation in their heart. But when we do not share, then they have no hope. And it's time for the church to get aggressive again. The devil has taken your loved ones. The devil has taken your friends. The devil has taken your children, mama. The devil's taken your wife, man. It's time to get back and get aggressive in the Holy Ghost and say, nobody's going to touch my family. And if they're lost right now, you know I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to wage a warfare that is going to raise raise hell. And I'm not talking R-A-I-S-E. I'm talking R-A-Z. I want to raise hell. I want to get the devil, kick him in the teeth, and bring him to his knees. For the Bible declares all authority. But if the church don't live it, then people die. How many people do you know today that you haven't told anything about the gospel that if they take their last breath, they're not going to be with Jesus? I'm sure we can all name 20 of them. What's holding you back from sharing? If you knew that they only had 12 hours left of life, natural life, what would you do to make sure they at least hear the gospel? Oh, pastor, that's just not my ministry. It's your ministry. It's everybody's ministry. There's a cost to soul winning. But that's what's happened in the body. We don't care about anybody else but our own survival. It's time to get out of your survivalist mentality and become that overcomer that Christ has called you to be. And that means you're not saving yourself. You're saving everybody around you. Plane goes into a problem. What happens when oxygen is low? The masks drop down. When the masks drop down and they instruct you in the beginning of the flight, they say, first of all, put the mask on yourself before you help the person next to you. Do you have the mask? If not today, you can have it. But if you've got the mask, who are you allowing to die next to you? And that is the truth. You have the answer. Turn to someone and say, you have the answer. You are the answer. Today I challenge you. Why am I preaching these series of messages? I want this to be the greatest Easter we have ever seen. I'm not talking the play. They're doing a great job. I'm not talking the kids singing. They're so cute. I'm not talking the meal afterwards, because that's going to be good. I'm talking, for me, the greatest success an Easter could be is how many people are snatched from Lucifer's lair. How many people do we reach down and grab? How many people do we bring to the saving knowledge of Christ? You see, that is not going to happen by the preacher. That is not going to happen by the... Listen, I love the fact that we sent out 4,000 of these, but that's not the answer. The answer is you. Who will you tell this week? Who will you tell this week? And if it's nobody, then you got to ask yourself, do I even love them? Remember what the atheist said, Penn? I said it last week. The person you hate the most, listen, he's a proclaimed atheist. And he says this: if you won't share your faith, you truly hate the people you're around. Because if you really believe it and you don't share it, there's no one you hate more. What are they going to say? Are they going to reject you? Well, then they reject you. Then they weren't your friends anyways. But can you imagine getting your friend, your family, your mom, your dad, your brothers and your sisters, to come to the house of God this coming week, and the message of the gospel being preached, and all of a sudden their hand raises, and they walk down the aisle, and you're able to see that God, by the power of prayer, God, by the power and the authority over the demonic spirits, broke free in their life, and now they're a son and daughter of the Most High King. Now they look at you and say, you do not even know what God has done in my life through you. There's no greater high. There's no greater excitement. There's no greater thrill than to see somebody changed by the power of gospel of Jesus. Then God used your life. I challenge you this week, as your pastor, but beyond being a pastor, just as Michael Spencer, some of us need to get on our knees until we're burdened again for people that are lost. We've become too Christian and less saint.
We become too Christian and less aggressive and passionate for people. We've lost our reason for living because we have so many other priorities of life that somebody damned doesn't matter. Somebody damned doesn't matter. Good luck. I don't need luck. I got the power of prayer. I got the Holy Ghost. Good luck. I don't need luck when it comes time to take it back. I got authority and the devil has got to yield. I'm going to end with this verse. I could preach on this for hours. Luke chapter 10, 17 through 20 says this. Then the 70 returned with joy. Everybody shout joy. Saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. You know what that means? When you pray, the spirits scream. When you pray in the authority of Jesus' name, they've got to come off their head. They've got to unblind them. They've got to take the blinders off. That's you, not your preacher, not the prayer team. That's you. But sometimes it might take you some cost. How much are you willing to pay for a soul? Oh, I'm not talking money. Time, convenience, maybe losing something you like. I knew the guy that was a musician. He was an amazing guitarist. And when he got saved, the Spirit of God said, you love your guitar more than you love me. Give up your guitar and I'll fill you with me. And that guy was a world changer. God let him take his guitar back up once it was in the right place. Your place, my place. Who around you this week needs Jesus to save them from their sins? Who around you this week that if they take their last breath will not go to heaven? Who around you this week is God burden you to talk to? And if it's nobody, you need to go back to prayer. If it's nobody, you need to go back to prayer. Amen. Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you, God, that we are aggressive in the spirit. I thank you, God, that we are not weak. I thank you, God, that we are not a church that just does our little religious thing on a Sunday, singing kumbaya and saying a nice little sermonette that makes everybody all frothy and sweet. But God, I thank you that we're willing to preach the gospel unadulterated. I thank you, God, we're willing to worship without restraint. I thank you, God, where we're willing as a body of Christ to allow you to flow any way you desire. God, this is not our church. God, this is your church. Father, and the greatest thing we ask for is not just our relationship with Jesus to increase, but that you will burden us for the lost. That God, we will be overwhelmed when we see somebody that does not know Jesus. That Jesus, we will not be allowed to just walk by, but God, our heart will break when we see them in their lost position and condition. Lord, for we know that you've sent us to deliver, just like you sent Moses. Just like you sent all the other major gents and ladies in the Bible. And we thank you that you did it for us, Jesus. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've not been saved, you've not been washed by the blood of Christ. Today you want to know him. Today you want to come from darkness to light. Today you want God to change your life. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. If you'll raise your hand this morning, we want to introduce you to Jesus. Is there anyone here that needs Christ as their personal Savior? I'm not going to wait real long. Come on, get your hand right up in the air. 5, 4, 3. Come on, get your hand up in the air. 5, 4, 3. Last call. 2, 1. Let's all stand to our feet. You see, I'm believing that you're going to be able to bring at least 5 people this weekend. Amen? You're awful quiet this morning. I believe we have some of these left. Is that true, Pastor Daniel Dykes? We have some of these left. Can you make sure that they're available right now? Can you run and grab them? Make them available. If you'd like to hand them out in your neighborhood, they're beautiful. Hand them out at work. Do whatever you got to do.
Do what you got to do. Be aggressive to get people to the house of God that they can hear the gospel and be set free in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen? I said, can I hear an amen? Shout, I love Jesus. Amen. Father, bless each one that's in this room this morning. I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I declare that no sickness has a right on their bodies. And I declare that we are soul winners. We are people that are going to start snatching people from Lucifer's lair. And we're going to share with them the good news that Jesus sets men free. In Jesus' name. And everybody shout it. The prayer team's around the front of the altar if you need prayer for anything. If you're a guest, we'd love to meet you in the guest reception room. Have a great day. Serve Jesus with all of your heart.